I'm a Yahoo fanatic. I'm a Yahoo fanatic. I'm a Yahoo fanatic. Shout out to all the Yahoo fanatics. Shalom, shalom. My name is Joseph.
My name is Brother Happy.
And we are
Quest of Yah. What's up, everybody? We are
shalom.
Back again.
Blessings.
Doing our ongoing study of the book of Yehezkel, which is the book of Ezekiel from the Hallelujah Scriptures. All praise to the Most High, Yahuwah, our Elohim, in the name of Yahusha, our Messiah and King. So,
amen.
Amen. Brother Yosef, would you like to pray over everything today before we get started?
Absolutely. Most High, we're delving into your word here, looking for truth. Looking for guidance and looking for the absolute power of your word. Bless us all that are hearing, and pray over those who need help right now and understanding, and grant us as well your understanding. Amen.
Yeah, amen. Let's do it, brother.
All right. I got chapter 25.
Yep. So, guys, we're doing chapters 25 through 28. And we will get started. Let's get right into it.
And the word of Yahuwah came to me, saying, Son of man, turn your face against the Ammonites and Nabah against them. And you shall say to the Ammonites, hear the word of the Adon Yahuwah. Thus said the Adon Yahuwah, because you said, aha, against my Mikdash when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel when it was ruined, and against the house of Yehuda when they went into exile. Therefore, see, I am giving you as a possession to the men of the east, and they shall put their encampments among you, and make their dwellings among you. They shall eat your fruit, and they shall drink your milk. And I shall make Rabbah a pasture for camels, and Ammon a resting place for flocks. And you shall know that I am Yahuwah. For this is what the Adon Yahuwah has said. Because you clapped your hands, and you stamped your feet, and rejoiced with all the scorn of your being against the land of Israel. Therefore see, I myself shall stretch out my hand against you, and give you as plunder to the nations. And I shall cut you off from the peoples, and make you perish from the lands. I shall destroy you, and you shall know that I am Yahuwah. This is what the Adon Yahuwah said. Because Moab and Seir say, see, the house of Yehuda is like all the Gentiles. Therefore, see, I am opening the flank of Moab on the side of the cities, on the side of his cities, on his frontiers. The splendor of the land, Beth Yeshimoth, Baal Meon, and Kiriathayim, and I shall give it together with the Ammonites as a possession to the men of the east, so that the Ammonites are no more remembered among the nations. Also on Moab, I execute judgments, and they shall know that I am Yahuwah. Thus said the Adon Yahuwah, because of what Edom has done against the house of Yehuda by taking vengeance, so that they became very guilty, and they have taken vengeance on them. Therefore, thus said the Adon Yahuwah, I shall stretch out my hand against Edom, and I shall cut off man and beast from it, and lay it waste, from Teman even to Dedane, that they shall fall by the sword. Verse 14, and I shall lay my vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to my displeasure and according to my wrath. So they shall know my vengeance, declares the Adon Yahuwah. Thus said the Adon Yahuwah, because the Perishthites have acted in vengeance and took vengeance with scorn and being to destroy with lasting enmity. Therefore, thus said the Adon Yahuwah, see, I am stretching out my hand against the Perishthites, and I shall cut off the Kerithites and destroy the remnant of the seacoast, and execute great vengeance on them with raging reproofs. And they shall know that I am Yahuwah when I lay my vengeance upon them. Yamen.
Wow. Wow.
Yep.
It's deep, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who is playing games, bro? He's taking everybody out. Definitely not. He's not playing. That even, man.
Bro, that reminded me of Malachi. Let me see where it's at. I remember Malachi said something about Eden being destroyed as well.
You're not playing.
Malachi 1 and 2. Let me see if I can get it through a different translation here. This is Malachi 1 and 2. I have loved you, says Yahuwah. But you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares Yahuwah? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. If Edom says, we are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins, Yahuwah of hosts says, they may build, but I will tear down, and they will be called the wicked country, and the people with whom Yahuwah is angry forever. Your own eyes shall see this, and you shall say, great is Yahuwah beyond the border of Yasharel.
Wow.
So Yahuwah always been on Edom, because they're happy when we get destroyed. And in verse 13, you can see that in Ezekiel. Therefore, thus said the Adon Yahuwah, I shall stretch out my hand against Edom, and I shall cut off man and beast from it, and lay it waste from Teman even to the Dene, that they shall fall by the sword. So this is a people that Yahuwah hates forever, man. Think about that.
Wow.
That's a lot of hate.
I mean, and Yahuwah's love, bro, but he hates the Edomites.
Man, just think about this hatred forever, bro. I mean, I wouldn't want to get in the way of that. But again, there's a lot of people mixing in with these people.
Man, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
It really is, man.
And Edom's on top of their game. They done dominated all kinds of tribes and nations. And they're going to be the last empire of the Edomites. That's it.
Yeah, they're done for.
They are.
This is their downfall right now. That's what's happening.
Yeah, they've been given the power of the sword over Jacob, but Jacob is gonna have their turn next.
Good old Yaakov. Yep.
That's the beginning of the world.
Let's go to chapter 26, man.
All right.
Chapter 26. And it came to be in the 11th year, on the first month, the word of Yahuwah came to me, saying, son of man, because Sur has spoken against Jerusalem, aha, she, the gateway of the peoples, has been broken. She has been turned over to me. Let me be filled. She has been ruined. Therefore, thus says the Adon Yahuwah, see, I am against you, O Sur, and shall cause many nations to come against you, as the sea causes its waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Sur, and they shall break down her towers, and I shall scrape her dust from her, and shall make her like a shining rock. She shall be a place for spreading nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken, declares the Adon Yahuwah. And she shall become plunder for the nations, while her daughters' villages, which are in the fields, are slain by the sword. And they shall know that I am Yahuwah. For thus said the Adon Yahuwah, see, I am bringing against Sur from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, a sovereign king of sovereigns, with horses and with chariots and with horsemen, even an assembly and many people. With the sword he shall slay your daughter villages in the fields, and he shall heap up a siege mound against you, and shall build a wall against you, and shall rise a large shield against you, and lay the bow of his battering rams against your walls, and break down your towers with his weapons. From his many horses, their dust shall cover you. From the noise of the horsemen and the wheels and the chariots, your walls shall shake as he enters your gates, as men enter a city that is breached. With the hooves of his horses, he tramples all your streets. He slays your people by the sword, and the columns of your strength shall fall to the ground. And they shall plunder your riches, and they shall loot your merchandise. And they shall break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. And they shall put your stones and your timber and your dust in the midst of the water. And I shall cause the sound of your songs to cease, and let the sound of your lyres be heard no more. And I shall make you like a shining rock, and let you be a place for spreading nets, never to be rebuilt. For I, Yahuwah, have spoken, declares the Adon Yahuwah. Thus said the Adon Yahuwah to Sur, would the coastlands not shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded cry, when slaughter is made in your midst? And all the princes of the sea shall come from their thrones, and they shall lay aside their robes and take off their embroidered garments and put on trembling and sit on the ground, and they shall tremble continuously, and they shall be astonished at you. And they shall take up a lamentation for you and say to you, how you have perished, O one inhabited by seafaring men, the city well praised, who was strong at sea, she and her inhabitants, who put their fear on all her inhabitants. Now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall, and the coastlands by the sea shall shudder at your going out. For thus says the Adon Yahuwah, when I make you a ruined city, like cities no longer inhabited, when I bring the deep upon you and great waters cover you, then I shall bring you down with those who go down into the pit, to the people of old, and I shall make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth, in the wastes of old, with those who go to the pit, so that you do not return. Wow. But I shall establish splendor in the land of the living. I make you a horror and let you be no more, and you are sought for but never found again, declares the Adon Yahuwah.
Wow. That was powerful.
Wow.
And all
he
does all this for us, man. Think about that. He's destroying these nations because they laughed at us and scorned us, man. And that reminds me of Psalms 83, and I'm going to read this real quick. O Elohim, do not remain silent. Do not be speechless, and do not be still, O El. For look, your enemies make an uproar, and those hating you have lifted up their head. They craftily plot against your people and conspire against your treasured ones. They have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation, and let the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they have conspired together with one heart. They have made a covenant against you.
Wow.
And so this is him paying them back. Incredible.
Bro, why do people not fear Yahuwah, bro?
I don't know. There's evidence all over the world.
Yeah,
evidence all over the world. They got them in museums. Visit them while you can. Look in the internet. They got virtual showings. Do what you can. Get that info. I'm not understanding how people are just missing out on this.
It's mind-blowing, man.
It is.
Like, all-powerful, bro.
All-powerful. You see it every day. Everything that you could do is amazing.
Yeah, man.
You wake up, you got that first thought. Thank God I'm alive still. You know what I'm saying? Get your responsibilities taken care of.
I mean, this part, bro. Like, if you go back to verse 19, okay, it sounds like those beings that live underground. You know how like they say there's a race of people that exist under the earth? And if you listen to this verse, that's exactly what it sounds like he's talking about. Listen to this again. It says, verse 19, "For thus says the Adon Yahuwah, when I make you a ruined city like cities no longer inhabited, when I bring the deep upon you and great waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who go down into the pit." So there are those are a group of people. Those are a group of people that go down into the pit. So we know that there's a group of people that go into this pit that is underground. And he said he's going to bring these people down with those that go down into the pit. To the people of old, he said. Who are these people of old? I have no idea. But he said, "I shall make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth, in the wastes of old, with those who go down to the pit." So this is like a different type of people. "So that you do not return, but I shall establish splendor in the land of the living." So he's clearly indicating to us that this place that is down in the pit is not the land of the living.
Bro, nice.
Okay? Yeah. And so he's saying, "But I shall establish splendor in the land of the living." So the pit is not the land of the living. And we know that the pit is somewhere, it's the lowest part of the earth. But the land of the living is not in the pit. It's above that, okay? And then he says, "I make you a horror and let you be no more, and you are sought for but never found again." So people are looking for these people of old that are in the lowest part of the earth. He said, "And you are sought for but never found," but they're never going to find these people.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember the fact that Hitler and the Nazis were seeking some sort of like wisdom, and they were going all around the earth for it, and they ended up in Antarctica, and they mentioned something like underground in Antarctica.
Shambhala, Agartha, that's what they call it.
Yeah, like, so you think that city. They got to this land of the dead, that they accidentally found the land of the pit? Those lands under the earth? Or you think that they really found something else?
I don't think that they found the pit, because it says right here that they're sought for. These people that got brought down low to the lowest part, that people have been looking for them, but they never find them. See, "but never found again," there declares Adon Yahuwah. So people have, over the years, from my understanding of this verse, is saying that people have sought for these people that he's talking about in chapter 26 that got brought to the pit with the people of old in the lowest parts of the earth, in the waste of old, but they never found them. They never found them. And anybody that goes there doesn't return, because it's, you know,
yeah,
it's a place of horror. He said, look, I make you a horror. So, yeah, nah, bro. I don't think they found that. I do believe, though, that there are cities underground. I definitely believe that. There's lots of evidence that proves that the elites have built a whole other underground world that's under our feet.
Oh, definitely, definitely. They're called DOMS, I think. Underground military.
Yeah, like they have underground stuff that, like trains, high-speed trains and stuff that are under the earth that go like from all the way to the top of Canada, all the way to like the end. Like it goes under the water too. It goes all the way to South America, man. It's craziness.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So like that's kind of like to us, I guess that would be like a futuristic world because it's under our feet. And they're the ones that have like all the advanced tech and stuff. And the people up here, they don't know that that stuff even exists. The average Joe doesn't know about that. Only people that are in the know really know about it. You know? Yeah.
What do you think of Antarctica? I mean, they've been blocking people from going there since 1959, I believe, or 1960.
Well, I definitely believe what it says about Admiral Byrd. You know, like he was an explorer and he was a pilot and he flew over top and he saw that the earth was flat and he also saw that there was a whole other world there, a whole other mass area of land. I think he said it was like bigger than the size of Texas. It was a huge area of land.
I believe that you're talking about something called Operation High Jump. Over there. He took like two missions, I think, over there.
And he has a journal out there that talks about the beings that he saw and how like there's like dinosaurs and stuff there and just advanced technology, all kinds of things, man.
Oh, you're talking about that letter he wrote?
Yeah.
I took a peek at that, yep.
I believe all that stuff is true, man. And there's just a lot of things that, you know, that they're lying to us about.
I think that's why it's off limits for everybody. The Antarctic treaty is stopping people from visiting the edge of the world. So you can actually see the firmament.
Yeah.
It's a great
ice wall, bro. It's in a circle. You know, it's impenetrable.
Oh yeah. I think that would be like such an eye opener if people had access to that area. So they can see for themselves that God does exist, and that's 100% proof. everybody be scared, man.
Yahuwah definitely exists, and I know it talks about in Revelations how the sky is going to roll back like a scroll.
So wow.
You can imagine like that would mean that the firmament, the dome that we're under, is going to be rolled away. That's what I'm getting from that. That's what that means.
That sounds scary, bro. That sounds scary.
Yeah, can you imagine looking outside?
Well, you know what else is scary? The fact that this is called Yah's footstool. That's scary enough.
Yeah, think about that. Like, I used to have these thoughts that Yahuwah was a big giant titan. You know? And, you know, because like if the earth is his footstool and this is the earth, he's so big that our whole planetary existence and our universe is a footstool for him. Like, that's how big he is. Like, he's a massive giant. And then, like, I also used to think these thoughts about, like, how, you know, how they would give animal sacrifices to Yahuwah back in the old covenant days, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they always said how, like, you know, the sacrifices were a sweet smelling fragrance to him, right? And I was just like, yo, those sacrifices, and he had them prepared in a certain way, is because they were cooking for him and he was eating their food, and that's what the animal sacrifices were. It was his food, because Yahuwah is this big giant titan. I used to have thoughts like that, man. Used to think that. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Us, man. All of us do.
I'm just speculating. It's just something to think about, you know? Who knows?
I don't know, man.
That's the mystery about it all. But anyway, chapter 27. Go for it, brother.
Actually, if you could take this one, I'll take the next one.
Wait, you want me to do 27?
Yeah, do 27 for me. I gotta do something real quick. Okay. I'll be right back. Thank you, bro. Sure. I'll take 28 for you.
Okay. This is chapter 27 of Yehezkel, Ezekiel. The word of Yahuwah came again to me, saying, "Now, son of man, take up a lamentation for Sur, and you shall say to Sur, you who dwell at the entrance to the sea, merchant of the peoples on many coastlands, thus said the Adon Yahuwah, O Sur, you yourself have said, I am perfect in loveliness. Your borders are in the heart of the seas. Your builders have perfected your loveliness. They have made all your timbers of fir trees from Senir." I hope I'm saying that right. "They took a cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for you. From the oaks of Bashan, they made your oars. They made your deck with ivory from the coasts of Kittim. Of fine embroidered linen from Mitzrayim," which is Egypt, "was your sail to serve you as banner. Of blue and purple from the coasts of Elisha was your covering." So it sounds like they're describing some ship that was created. "The inhabitants of Sidon and Arwad were your seamen. Your wise men, O Sur, were in you. They were your sailors. The elders of Gebal and its wise men were in you repairing your seams. All the ships of the sea and their seamen were in you to trade your merchandise. Those from Paras, Lud, and Put were in your army as men of battle. Shield and helmet they hung up within you. They gave splendor to you. The sons of Arwad and your army were on your walls all around, and the Gemedites were in your towers. They hung their shields on your walls all around. They perfected your loveliness. Tarshish was your merchant because of your great wealth. They gave you silver, iron, tin, and lead for your merchandise. Yawan, Tubal, and Meshech were your traders. They exchanged slaves and objects of bronze for your merchandise. Those from the house of Togomara exchanged horses and horsemen and mules for your merchandise. The men of Dedan traded with you. Many isles were your market. They brought you ivory tusks and ebony as payment." Wow. "Aram was your merchant because of the multitude of your workers. They gave you emeralds, purple, and embroidery, and fine linen, and corals, and rubies for your wares. Yehuda and the land of Israel were your traders. For your merchandise, they exchanged wheat of Minnith and early figs, and honey, and oil, and balm. Damask was your merchant because of the multitude of your works, because of your great wealth of the goods, with the wine of Helbon, and with white wool. Wedan and Yawan from Uzal paid for your wares. They exchanged wrought iron, cassia, and cane for your merchandise. Dedan traded with you in saddle cloths for riding. Arabia and all princes of Kedar were merchants for you. And lambs and rams and goats, they were your merchants. The traders of Sheba and Rama were your traders. They paid for your wares with choice spices. Hold on, I lost my spot. With choice spices and all kinds of precious stones and gold. Let me go to the next part. Verse 23. Haran and Kenna and Eden, traders of Sheba Ashur, and Kilmad traded with you. You got something for me, bro? This is really interesting stuff, man. You still there?
I'm still here. It sounds like big business.
Yeah, it sounds like a big, huge empire, man.
Oh, yeah. But this, yeah, this so that's a lot of merchandise being traded.
Yeah, and this is like who these people were.
Oh, yeah.
And this was all because this. All right, so the reason why he did this and destroyed this people. All right, so in chapter 26, he talks about what he's going to do to them because they spoke against Jerusalem. Because they spoke against his people, bro. He destroyed these people. And now he's talking about, he's referring to Seor in chapter 27, talking about all the stuff that they had that he took away. He's like, you were this and you were that, and you had all of this and you had all of that. You know what I mean? But I destroyed you because you spoke against Jerusalem. You feel me? Like, wow. Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Chapter verse 24. Verse 24. This is chapter 27 of Ezekiel. Verse 24. They traded with you in perfect items, in purple clothes, in embroidered garments, in chests of multicolored clothes, in strong twine cords among your merchandise. The ships of Tarshish were the travelers of your merchandise. Now remember, this is Yahuwah speaking to the people of Sur. All right. And you were filled and richly laden in the heart of the seas. Your seamen brought you into many waters, but the east wind broke you in the heart of the seas. Your wealth and your wares, your merchandise, your mariners and your sailors, your repairers of seams, and your dealers in merchandise, and all your fighting men who are in you, and the entire company which is in your midst, shall go down into the heart of the seas on the day of your fall. The coasts shaking at the sound of the cry of your sailors, and all the oarsmen, the mariners, all the sailors of the sea shall come down from their ships. They shall stand on the shore, and they shall raise their voice and cry bitterly over you, and cast dust on their heads, rolling themselves in ashes. Man.
Wow.
And they shall shave themselves bald because of you, and shall gird themselves up with sackcloth. And they shall weep for you with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And in their wailing for you, they shall take up lamentation, and they shall lament for you. Who is cut off in the midst of the sea like Seor? When your wares went out by the sea, you have filled many peoples with your great wealth and your merchandise. You have made the kings, the sovereigns of the earth, rich. In the time you are broken by the seas and the depths of the waters, your merchandise and all your company shall fall in your midst. Bro, I just got a deep, powerful thing that just hit me right now. Sure, sounds like the Roman Catholic Church, bro. I believe it, that he's talking about the Roman Catholic Church, that this ancient city back then is the equivalent of the Roman Catholic Church. Is it probably still... Like what happened then is happening now. He's talking about the beast system right now. He definitely is. Look at verse 34. In the time you are broken by the seas and depths of the waters, your merchandise and all your company shall fall in your midst. All the inhabitants of the isles shall be astonished at you, and their kings, their sovereigns, shall be greatly afraid. Their faces shall be troubled. The merchants among the peoples shall whistle at you. You shall become a horror and be no more forever. He's talking about the beast and what he's going to do. He's going to completely obliterate the beast system and establish his kingdom on earth. That's what's happening right now, bro. Woo! Powerful stuff.
Wow.
I believe that that's talking about, bro.
I'm trying to look up where this place is at. But all I get is I am getting that it's called Tyre in the English version, or the KJV, the city of Tyre.
Yes. Oh, look, we got somebody got some comments. Hopefully they're appropriate comments.
Go ahead.
Because if they're not, somebody's getting casted out in Yahushua's name. I ain't playing.
Go ahead, bro. Hit that.
All right, let's listen. Oh, wait.
Hey, guys. Shalom. I just want to say that I just finished the book of Ezekiel, like, I think last night or the night before. And I just got to say, that book's incredible. It's a lot in there. But yeah.
No doubt. Especially the beginning parts. I love the beginning. Talking about spaceships and stuff. Wow.
Yeah, bro. Like, there's so much in this book. Like, it goes from, like, you know, in phases. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It does. There's so much in here.
There's a lot you can use.
Yeah, you're right. He is talking about the end times and what he's going to do with the beast system. You need to read Revelations chapter 18, verse 18 to 19. It's like a reference to this Bible verse.
Nice.
Did you get that?
Revelation 18, 18 to 19. Let's see if we can get that.
You got it? Go ahead and read that, bro.
I got you. Actually, let me start in 17, so for some context. For in 1 hour such great riches was laid waste, and every shipmaster, and every passenger and sailors, and as many as worked the sea stood at a distance, and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What is like this great city?" And they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and mourning, and saying, "Woe! Woe, the great city, in which all who had..." "...ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she was laid waste. Rejoice over her, O Shamayim, and you Kodesh emissaries and Nebiim, for Yahuwah has completely avenged you on her." All praises.
Wow, praise Yahusha. Wow.
That was beautiful. We're gonna get avenged, man.
That's perfect. Yeah, I was right, man. They go together. It's talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's mind blowing, bro. That is exactly what's happening right now. Yes.
I wanna thank Baby Doll for that happening. For that connection.
What? Yeah. Thank you, Baby Doll. Appreciate you. That's Baby Doll right there. Good peoples. Appreciate it. Yo, you're up for 28, brother.
I'm ready and waiting. Let's go.
Do it. Let's
chapter
do it.
28. "And the word of Yahuwah came to me, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Sor, thus said the Adon Yahuwah, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am El, I sit in the seat of Elohim, in the heart of the seas, whereas you are a man, and not El, though you make your heart as the heart of Elohim. Look, are you wiser than Daniel? Has no secret been hidden from you? By your wisdom and your understanding, you have made riches for yourself, and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom, by your trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus said the Adon Yahuwah, because you have made your heart as the heart of Elohim. Therefore, see, I am bringing against you strangers, the ruthless ones of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the loveliness of your wisdom, and they shall profane your splendor. Down into the pit they shall bring you, and you shall die the death of the slain in the heart of the seas. Would you still say before him who slays you, I am Elohim? Whereas you are man and not El in the hand of him who slays you? The death of the uncircumcised you shall die by the hand of foreigners. For I have spoken, declares the Adon, Yahuwah.
Yo, stop. Oh, man. Okay. Who do you think he's talking about right here?
Let
who
me
does
see
it sound like to you?
It sounds like people that mention all the times that they're gods.
So, listen, he's talking. He said the prince to the prince of Seor, right? So we were just talking about how Seor is the beast system, is the Roman Catholic Church, that the headquarters of the Illuminati and everything that's going on.
You know what this sounds like to me, bro? I'm gonna be honest. It sounds like the New Age stuff.
It's the Pope, bro.
I think he's gonna somehow bring in that New Age look to everything while he joins every other religion and brings out that New Age kind of vibe where everybody's like a winner and stuff. Everybody's knowledgeable.
He's talking about the anti-Messiah where he said, you know what I mean? Like, who's the one that said
be your own Christ?
Right. So he's talking about Hasatan because he's the one that said that he was El, but he's not.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
Because he's the one that wanted to sit in the seat of Elohim. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So this is all about him. This is about the anti-Mashiach. This is about the Roman Catholic Church. It's about the anti-Mashiach, the beast, the false prophet, all that stuff.
Oh, he's going to try to sit on that seat.
All right, Lindsay, we got something here.
Go ahead and play it.
Yahuwah is talking about Satan because, like, when you keep reading, he's going to talk about how Satan used to be in heaven and stuff. But then he wanted to, like, be just like Elohim. So then he tried to create war and stuff. And you'll see. You just got to keep reading.
Yeah, I can see the comparison. And, bro, keep reading. Because, but in this context here, he's talking about the Prince of Seor, who's a man. So, it also makes me wonder if, the anti-Messiah, there's many anti-Messiahs that the scriptures tell us. But is there one main one that Bible is referring to, or is it just is the Antichrist a person, or is it a power? That's a question.
Well, the thing is that he's trying to mirror the Most High, because the Most High has a lot of titles. So that's what he wants for himself. And so this is what creates the confusion, because the Antichrist has his own kind of thing going on. And he also has names. So it's like people don't know which one to get. You know what I mean? It sounds like they're struggling to get their own identity. So let me see. I was at verse 11. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the sovereign of Sword. And you shall say to him, Thus said the Adon, Yahuwah, you were sealing up a pattern complete in wisdom and perfect in loveliness. You were in Eden, the garden of Elohim. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, topaz, and diamond, beryl, shoham, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald, and gold, the workmanship of your collets and mountings were prepared for you on the day you were created.
Stop. Hold on. So hold on. I want to point out that he is referring to the king of Tyre, the sovereign of Sur. That is who we're talking about. So this is a man that he's talking about that was in Eden, the garden of Elohim. Go ahead.
Well, in verse 14 is going to tell you who it is. It says, you were the anointed cherub that covered and I placed you. You were on the Kodesh mountain of Elohim. You walked up and down in the midst of stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the greatness of your trade, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. So I thrust you from the mountain of Elohim, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your loveliness. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I threw you to the earth. I laid you before sovereigns to look at you. Wow.
Wow.
So sovereigns know what he looks like. Think about that.
Kings, yeah, the kings. The
so sovereign. They actually meet with him. According to this, he has met up with the sovereigns of the world.
Yes.
So they actually know what he looks like. That's crazy.
I laid you before sovereigns to look at you. Yes.
Wow. That's amazing.
So his heart was lifted up because of his loveliness. So like he was super prideful and his heart was lifted up. Like
the one thing he wants everybody to have right now. Think about it. Everything that he has or he feels, he wants the world to have that as well.
Right, the loveliness and splendor.
They want pride in the world, many wickednesses. That's his MO.
Man.
Those are his qualities that he wants to bring out in people. That they be wicked. And in all this Instagram stuff with women trying to pose for every shot at every hour, doing whatever kind of thing, that's prideful right there.
I agree.
If you think about it.
We got some messages.
That's so much vanity right there. Go ahead and play it.
Let's go.
Yeah, see, so the way I interpret this as the king of Tyrus was just Satan over there in Tyre just making the mess or doing whatever he was doing. And when I read this, I kind of saw it as it being hostile time, because it talked about how he was in Eden, and then it talks about the stones and stuff, and then it talks about the pipes. Like in my Bible, you didn't really say this, Yahu Kim, but in my Bible it says the workmanship of thy teprets and of thy pipes were prepared in you in the day that you were created. So it talks about how he was like an angel of music. And if you keep reading, you are the anointed cherub that covered. So he used to be at the highest level up there with Yahuwah. And then the holy mountain just refers to the highest top of heaven. It doesn't mean like literally a mountain. It could be like a spiritual meaning. And the stones of fire are like the seraphim.
Good stuff.
Beautiful. Well said. Yeah, man, that's deep. And I agree with it all.
And you know what else? This proves the fact that it says in some of the those books that we had read beforehand that said that Satan never entered the Eden and stuff. Because there was a lot of books we read in the past which said that he kind of bribed some sort of bird to speak for him. And this and that just disproves that.
Yeah.
I forgot what was the name of it. I think it was the Book of the Bee or something. Book of the Bee, that just blows that away. And it tells you that he was in Eden.
Yep. It's amazing. You gotta be careful what you read.
No doubt. This is why you need to find this first. Be an expert in the 66 book, then go after with everything else and disprove it.
She got something else for us.
Go ahead.
But yeah, it could just be talking about the King of Tyrus in general. But when I read it, I kind of perceived it as it being Hasatan, but still interesting.
It's definitely Hasatan.
Yeah, so
he said that he was a created being.
Yeah, so the way that I'm looking at it is that Hasatan is the king of Sur. It is him. Now I don't know if like I don't, you know, because I don't know. I don't know how that works, but I believe that that it is him, that it is, that Hasatan is the king of Tyre. King of Sur.
Yeah, so I looked up King of Tyre, and it says that this is a place somewhere where it's now called Lebanon. Is there anything in Lebanon that I would say where he used to dwell at? Like a temple or something? Because I've heard of a temple that was dedicated to him. I think I saw that Revelation, right? Where it said that he had a temple?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I don't know.
I wonder if it's in Lebanon. What's in Lebanon, though? Besides the cedar trees that Lebanon. We all know.
I don't know. There's something over there, though. I mean, all throughout Scripture, it does talk about Hasatan being in that vicinity, in that location. So that's why I'm saying, like, this all points to the king of Tyre, king of Sur, as being, you know, Hasatan. Now, we know that the word Satan means adversary. So anybody can be a Satan. If you are opposing an opposing force to someone else, if you're opposing someone else, you are a Satan to them. So it's a position that anyone can take on as an adversary, right? So, but there is one specifically being that is the Elohim of this world, the God of this world, and that is, you know, Hasatan. But Hasatan has a name. And one of his names is the Prince of Sur, the Prince of Tyre. Another one is Gadriel. So that's what I'm getting from this.
Ah, I found something. So the Phoenicians used to live there in that area. And there's something called the Temple of Bacchus that used to be there. And let me see if I could get some information on that. So the temple was probably commissioned by Roman Emperor Antoninus Pius. It was not until I'm not seeing anything else on it. But wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, me neither, man.
That was probably his temple.
It makes sense. Probably
the temple of where he met the sovereigns at, if you think about it. But it's definitely Roman temple.
Yep.
And we all know who they worship, bro. The Edomites.
I think you left off on verse 17.
Verse 17, your heart was lifted up because of your loveliness. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I threw you to the earth. I laid you before sovereigns to look at you. You profaned your mikdashim by your many wickednesses, by the unrighteousness of your trading. Therefore, I brought forth fire from your midst. It has devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth before the eyes of all who see you. All who knew you among the peoples were astonished at you. Waste you shall be and cease to be forever. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, turn your face towards Sidon and Naba against her. And you shall say, Thus said the Adon Yahuwah, See, I am against you, O Sidon, and I shall be esteemed in your midst, and they shall know that I am Yahuwah. When I execute judgments in her, and I shall be Kadosh in her, and I shall send pestilence upon her, and blood in her streets, and the slain shall fall in her midst by the sword against her from all sides, and they shall know that I am Yahuwah. And there shall no longer be a pricking briar or a paining thorn for the house of Israel from among all who are around them, who despise them. And they shall know that I am the Adon, Yahuwah. Thus said the Adon Yahuwah, when I have gathered the house of Israel from the peoples among whom they are scattered, I shall be kadosh in them before the eyes of the Gentiles. Wow, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, this explains who are the Gentiles they're looking for in Acts and the New Testament. It tells you right here. Let me repeat that again. Thus said the Adon Yahuwah, when I have gathered the house of Israel from the peoples among whom they are scattered. Wow. So when Yahushua is speaking about, he came for the house of Yasharal, the lost sheep. That's who he's looking for.
Wow.
I shall be kadoshing them before the eyes of the Gentiles. And they shall dwell in their own land, which I gave to my servant Yaakov. So that's where we're going to be staying at. And they shall dwell safely and build houses and plant vineyards and dwell safely when I execute judgments on all those around them who despise them. And they shall know that I am Yahuwah, their Elohim.
Wow. That's so dope. Praise Yahshua. Praise Yahuwah, man.
Wow. He said right there what we're going to be doing, man. We're going to be cleansing this land.
He's going to be destroying everybody around us and keeping us safe.
We're like, going to be living nicely.
Wow.
And we're going to be attacking those who hate us right now. You know what I mean? Wow. He's going to execute judgments on all. Look, it says right here that we're going to have houses and everything and dwell safely. And that when he executes judgments on those around us, that's going to be like us slaughtering them. You know what I'm saying? Because they're not following those commandments. Those are going to be the Gentiles. You want to play that real quick?
Yeah, let's see. Let's check it out.
Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, shalom, shalom, brothers. Speaking the truth. Blessed. Yeah, just chiming in. Just coming to say what's up, all right? Yeah, man. That's right.
Shalom, Dwayne.
Hey, thanks shalom. For joining me. Yeah, praise Yahusha, man. Praise Yahuwah, our Elohim. So we appreciate you and the support. All praise and honor to the Most High, Yahuwah Elohim. Yamen.
Yamen.
Yeah, man. Yeah, bro. Stuff, man. Bro. This is exciting times. It's the stuff we're reading. You got to share this and teach everybody about it. And anybody that is willing to listen, man, this is great news for the house of Israel. You know, I feel bad for everybody else that isn't paying attention and ain't listening and ain't, you know, obeying the commandments and loving Yahuwah and others and themselves and just doing what they're supposed to do, man. He says, if you seek me, you find me. You know, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the doors will be open. For those who seek, find. Those who ask, receive. And those who knock, doors are open. Praise Yahusha. HaMashiach.
All praises. This has been, man, eye-opening. Since the beginning of Ezekiel. This amazing book, man.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get to Daniel.
Is that the next project?
Yo. Definitely, bro. I mean, I'm hyped right now. I feel like keep on reading, like right now. I feel like going to 29.
Yeah?
It's been that good.
It's
up to you. It's up to you.
Yeah, why not? Well, hey, we're going to give you a bonus chapter. 29. We're going to keep going.
I got you.
Go ahead, brother.
In the 10th year, in the 10th month, on the 12th of the month, the word of Yahuwah came to me, saying, Son of man, turn your face against Pharaoh, the sovereign of Mitzrayim, and Naba against him, and against Mitzrayim, all of it. Speak, and you shall say, Thus said the Adon Yahuwah, See, I am against you, O Pharaoh, sovereign of Mitzrayim, O great dragon who lies in the midst of his rivers, who has said, My river is my own. And I have made it for myself. And I shall put hooks in your jaws, and I shall make the fish of your rivers cling to your scales, and I shall bring you up out of the midst of your rivers, and all the fish in your rivers cling to your scales. And I shall leave you in the wilderness, you and all the fish of your rivers. On the face of the land you shall fall, and you shall not be picked up or gathered. I shall give you as food to the beasts of the field and to the birds of the Shamayim.
Yo.
Go ahead, brother.
Yo, so some people might say that he's not actually talking about a real dragon, but I'm going to personally have to disagree, because he clearly is talking about a dragon, all right? Because they exist and they are real. All right, if you read in the Targums, in the Book of Bereshith, you will see where he created the great Tannins and the Leviathan, all right, which are dragons. He created them for the day of wrath. All right, it is all there. You can look it up for yourself. He's talking about a great dragon, literally, that lies in the midst of his rivers. So he's telling you the location of where these beings are in real life, okay, because this is real life, all right? And he's telling you exactly what he's going to do to this dragon. So carry on, my brother. I just wanted to say, point that out.
Yeah. And if anybody has questions or comments, right when I finish, have them questions and comments ready. So verse 6, and all the inhabitants of Mitzrayim shall know that I am Yahuwah, because they have been a staff of reed to the house of Israel. When they grasped you with the hand, you broke and tore all their shoulders. When they leaned on you, you broke and made all their loins shake. Therefore, thus said the Adon Yahuwah, see, I am bringing a sword upon you, and shall cut off from you man and beast. And the land of Mitzrayim shall become a desert and a waste, and they shall know that I am Yahuwah. Because he said, the river is mine, and I have made it. Therefore, see, I am against you and against your rivers, and shall make the land of Mitzrayim an utter waste and a desert, from Migdol to Seweneh, as far as the border of Cush.
All right, let me pause there.
So he definitely brought that out.
So check this out. There's definitely
a desert all over Egypt right now.
Yo, this is going to blow your mind. Check this out. So Egypt wasn't always a desert until this happened. That is why Mitzrayim, that's why Egypt today is a desert. And this is the reason why right here. The reason why there are deserts are because Yahuwah destroyed those places that once were flourishing and had all types of merchants and markets and stuff going, but they messed with Yahuwah, and that's what happens when you mess with Yahuwah.
No doubt.
So that's mind-blowing, bro. The deserts in Egypt today, in Mitzrayim today, are because of this right here. Wow.
Well, all I can say is if you want further proof, go to Sodom and Gomorrah in Israel. There's a bunch of videos. They used to have all kinds of idols. You could barely make out a shape now. It's all destroyed. All you see is these little these rocks made out of these pebbles, that you can light up, actually. I forgot what they're made out of. But they used to be like hot. Everything is like hot ashes over there now.
Yep.
That's all there is. He's going to turn your city into that.
Wow.
So that's what unrighteousness gets you. You have anything more to add? You want to play that message real quick?
Yeah, let's play it.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's me again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yo, respect, man. I just want to ask, is that the Apocrypha that you're reading from? I just want to know which part of the scriptures you're reading from.
I got them. This is Ezekiel chapter 29. And I am at verse 10.
Yep, Yehezkel.
Right? Ezekiel chapter 29, verse 10. And here we go. Therefore, see, I am against you and against your rivers, and shall make the land of Mitzrayim an utter waste and a desert from Migdol to Sewene, as far as the border of Cush. So, yeah, it's definitely fruitful back in the day, because remember that the Israelites were all together with the Egyptians, living in peace, with Joseph in charge.
Yep.
He was the second man. He was the second man in rank with Pharaoh, and so all was good back in those days because Joseph was highly esteemed.
Joseph was the man.
So everybody went to Egypt to trade and to. It was like the best part of the I would say that land in that area in those times, and now it's just complete desert, which is amazing. So let me go back to verse 11. No foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited for 40 years. And I shall make the land of Mitzrayim a desert in the midst of the lands that are waste, and among the cities that are ruined, her cities shall be a waste 40 years. And I shall scatter the Mitzrites among the nations, and I shall disperse them throughout the lands. For thus said the Adon Yahuwah, at the end of 40 years, I shall gather the Mitzrites from the peoples among whom they were scattered. And I shall turn back the captivity of Mitzrayim, and I shall bring them back to the land of Pathros, to the land of their birth. And there they shall be a lowly reign. I gotta look that up. Try to remind me, bro, so I can look that up real quick, or if you can right now.
Which one? The land of Pathros?
Yeah. Check that out to see where it leads us to.
Let me see.
This is verse 15. Being the lowliest of reigns, and never again exalt itself above the nations. And I shall make them few, so as not to rule over the nations. And no longer is it to be the refuge of the house of Israel, bringing to remembrance their wickedness when they turn to follow them. And they shall know that I am the Adon, Yahuwah. Verse 17, and it came to be in the 27th year, in the first month. Yeah, let me finish this verse real quick. Okay. On the first of the month, that the word of Yahuwah came to me, saying, all right, go ahead.
All right, so Pathros, okay, is it refers to Upper Egypt. It's primarily the Bade, where it extends from the Elephantine Fort to modern Aset, which is north of Thebes. And then Gardner argues that it extended to the north no farther than Abydos. It's mentioned, Pathros is mentioned in Yirmiyahu 44:1 and 15, and Yeshayahu 11:11, Ezekiel 29:14 and 30, verse 14. It is the homeland of the Pathrusium. The Pathrusium.
Never heard of them.
The Pathrusium, together with the Calusium, were descendants of Mitzrayim, according to the genealogy in Bereshit, Genesis, who inhabited Pathros, which is Upper Egypt. So, the Saidi people, which were the people of Pathros, the people of Upper Egypt, are listed in Bereshit in Genesis chapter 10 verse 14. So that is very interesting. They are the Sahidic people, and the Calusim people of eastern Libya. So this is where it's leading us.
Wow. Libya. Yeah. Wow. So you never heard of these people before. That so Yahuwah definitely kept his word. He's destroyed these people to the fact that they can't even have their own government no more.
Yeah.
And they used to be great. They used to be like the top of the nations back in the day. And now they're just a byword, man. Nobody knows who these people are anymore. They're lost. You know what?
This place also has to do with the remnant. If you go to Yeshayahu 11:11, which I find very interesting, because 11:11 has to do with gaining awareness and conscious awareness. It's like making you aware that you know, that you're not alone in the world, in the universe, that there's the universal consciousness, which we know is Yahuwah Elohim. And that's why I always tell the conscious community, is like, you know, y'all have a form of power and, you know, Yahness, godliness, but you deny him because you do not know his name or do not follow his word.
So yeah, follow his commandments.
Yes, unless you turn from this deception and embrace Yahusha as Messiah and King, and believe in your spirit and your heart that Yahuwah raised Yahusha from the dead, that is the only way you will be saved. Not from just this, these different angels that you guys like to worship. The power is not in the angel. The power is in the creator of the angels, which is Yahuwah Elohim. And so listen to what it says in Yeshayahu 11:11. It will happen in that day that Yahuwah will set his hand against the second time to recover the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Mitzrayim, from Pathros, that's what we're talking about, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. So I wanted to just point that out, because this place, Pathros, that we're talking about, is connected to a remnant that he is going to recover, that will be left, according to that verse. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 18, Son of Man, Nebuchadrezzar, sovereign of Babel, made his army to serve a great service against sword. Every head was made bald, and every shoulder worn bare. But he and his army received no reward from sword for the service he served against it. Therefore, thus said the Adon Yahuwah, see, I am giving the land of Mitzrayim to Nebuchadrezzar, sovereign of Babel, and he shall take away her wealth, take her spoil, and remove her pillage, and there shall be a reward for his army. I have given him the land of Mitzrayim as a reward for his labor, because they work for me, declares the Adon Yahuwah. In that day I shall make the horn of the house of Israel to spring forth, while I open your mouth to speak in their midst, and they shall know that I am Yahuwah. Yamen.
I believe this is a prophecy, bro. Like, some of this stuff, I don't think, like, I believe everything he's saying happened back then. But I also believe that it's a prophecy for things to come now. Like, it's repeating.
I feel like, wow. Like, they got, everything got robbed away from the Egyptians, man. They can never go back and claim anything. It's already, like, the most important things got destroyed and got taken up from Nebuchadnezzar, as it said in English Bibles.
Yeah.
Wow.
Deep stuff, man.
Yeah. All praises to Yahuwah.
Yep. And Yahusha, our king and Mashiach.
Our king and teacher, our master.
Thank you. Good for us. I love Yahusha, man. I love Yahuwah. I love
Yahusha. That was a powerful reading right there.
Yeah, it was, man. Anybody have any questions for us? We went a little longer tonight, but we just felt led to keep going one more chapter. So thanks for hanging out with us. Questions? I don't think they have any questions, man.
I don't think so.
We're gonna wrap it up. You want to blow the horn?
I'm actually don't have the horn right now, bro, because I had to come do something.
That's so
I'm out of my own house. But yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, bless up. Oh, we got somebody.
We got a message. Let's go.
What are you guys gonna be reading next time?
Next time we're going to be reading chapters 30. Let's do 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll be reading chapters 30 through 34. Yeah, so this is an ongoing study, guys, of the book of Ezekiel, Yehezkel. And we've been doing this study for quite some time. We took a break for a while, but we are back. And you can find all of the teachings and studies that we did on this book on Spotify under Quests of Yah. That's Quests of Yah, Y-A-H, okay, which is short for Yahuwah. You can go on Anchor. You can go on any basically podcast platform to hear our podcast. And obviously you can come on here. Right now we rank number 80 in the country in the religion topic for podcasts. So praise Yahusha and Yahuwah for that. And it continues to go up because we do this for him and we want to get the message out there to everybody. Wake up, know and remember who you are, and embrace Yahusha and embrace Yahuwah. So that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, amen.
Have a good day. Have a good night. Have a good evening and rising, everybody.
Shalom, shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
Quest of Yah.
Quest of Yah, signing out.
Come on, bro. Where's the tune? Quest of Yah. All right. Quest of Yah. All right, shalom.